all our conversations and contemplations and meditations are not meant to present reality as it is. They are meant to loosen up the old habitual ways of thinking, and in particular the old ways of feeling, the old ways of thinking and feeling that I am a solid, dense, located entity made out of something called matter, inside which the mind appears, inside which a fleeting, fragile flame of awareness intermittently flickers. All our conversations, contemplations, and meditations are really excavations of those old patterns of believing and feeling. They are not meant to replace those old patterns with new models. The new models that we build are simply thorns that are used to remove thorns. Awareness cannot be modeled. In an absurd, convoluted and irrational process of pseudo-reasoning, contemporary science and contemporary culture in general has denied the reality of consciousness or awareness, and have imagined a substance that it has never experienced called matter, which it then believes to be the ultimate reality of all experience. And whether we are aware of it or not, almost all our thoughts and feelings are predicated on this belief in the ultimate reality of matter, and our subsequent activities and relationships express these beliefs and feelings. In our culture, the only thing that is absolutely certain about experience, awareness itself, is denied or at best relegated. And the one thing of which we have absolutely no evidence at all, matter, is asserted as the ultimate reality. And we wonder why we are unhappy, why people live in loneliness and despair, why our relationships are full of conflict, why, in spite of all our technical ability, we still haven't found peace amongst nations. True justice grows out of the recognition of our shared being, that there are not a multiplicity and diversity of awarenesses. All our minds are emanations from the same single source, the same shared being of awareness. The recognition of that is the foundation of peace in ourselves, peace in our intimate relationships, peace in our friendships, peace in our families and communities, and peace and justice amongst nations. Start with awareness. Start in awareness. Start as awareness. Be only awareness. Know only awareness. Love only awareness. You see, what most people believe and feel, that What they essentially are is a mixture of thoughts, images, memories, feelings, sensations, perceptions. Yes? So, in most people's experience, what they are has been mixed with, let's just call it thoughts, sensations, and perceptions. And so in the first stage of this teaching, we separate ourselves out, our essential self. When I say our essential self, I mean that part of ourself that never disappears, that part of ourself that cannot be removed. So we separate ourselves out. To begin with, there is just this amalgam of experience, thinking, feeling, sensing, perceiving. We separate ourselves out as the knower or the witness, the witnessing presence of awareness through which all our thoughts, feelings, sensations and perceptions pass. So we visualize ourselves like a great sky, the sky of awareness or the open empty space of awareness in which all thoughts, sensations and perceptions appear, through which all thoughts, sensations and perceptions flow. But we know ourselves as this essential background awareness. I'm now mixing my metaphors. Just forget the sky and the clouds. Go to the screen and the image. It's the same metaphor, but it has different implications. So we are, as it were, the screen of awareness upon which all experience plays. So it's true that there's no distance between awareness and experience. There's no distance between your thoughts and that which is aware of your thoughts. They're like this. But whatever it is that is aware of your thoughts remains behind as your thoughts disappear. So it's not identical to them. Yes? So the first step in this approach is to separate yourself or discriminate what is essential to you and what is superfluous to you. Your thoughts are not essential to you because they're always disappearing, nor are your feelings, sensations or perceptions. You've never had a thought, feeling, sensation or perception that lasted. They all vanish, but you, your essential self, has always been the same. When you were a five-year-old girl, your essential self was the same as it is now, this background of awareness upon which all experience is playing or through which all experience is flowing. So what I was talking about this morning, about this peace coming from the background, I was talking about the inherent peace of awareness. The reason why I say that awareness is peaceful is because awareness, just like the screen upon which the movie is playing, is never disturbed by the content of the movie. Doesn't matter how violent or the movie is, the screen itself is never hurt by it. The same with awareness. It doesn't matter how tempestuous experience is, how pleasurable or painful experience is, the screen of awareness on which it is playing is always the same. One with it, but not affected by it. Just like the screen is one with the movie, but not affected by it. So the first thing we do in this approach is to become aware of the background of awareness. If you ask most people, what does your life consist of? Most people, in one way or another, will say thoughts, feelings, sensations and perceptions, activities, relationships, etc. Very few people will say the presence of awareness. Although actually the presence of awareness is the most important aspect of experience. It is the essential ingredient in all experience. But because it's colorless, most people overlook it in just the same way that if someone were asked to write a list of everything they were experiencing in this room, most people would say people, flowers, carpets, cushions, tables, chairs, etc., etc. Very few people would mention the space. Everyone's experiencing the space, but very few people would mention it because you can't see it. It hasn't got a form. So it's the same, the space of awareness. Everyone is experiencing it. Everyone is experiencing the experience of being aware. Is there anyone here who is not having the experience now of being aware? It's obvious. And if we were to ask any of the 7 million people, as long as they understood the question, are you now having the experience of being aware? They would just pause and go, yes. In that pause, they would be aware of being aware. For a moment, the focus of their attention would be taken off their thoughts, activities, and relationships. Thoughts, feelings, activities, and relationships. And in that moment, their attention would flow back to its source and recognize, yes, I am aware that I am aware. In that moment, they taste or know their essential being. But because it cannot be described, because it cannot be perceived or conceived, or most people overlook it and just go back to the object, they don't know that in that moment they have just had the most profound experience it is possible to have, which is the knowing of their own colorless being, whose nature is peace. Because like the space of this room or the screen upon which the movie plays, it cannot be disturbed. So most people are running around the world looking for peace. They don't know that the peace they look for is in the background of their experience. It can never be found in a relationship, in an object, in a substance, in an activity. It's always there, but we're turned away from it. So that's like the first thing we do is notice this presence of awareness in the background of experience. And the more we notice it, the more it comes out of the background into the foreground. In other words, the more its presence is felt in our lives. And the more its presence is felt, the more of its peace is felt. So to begin with, we feel this peace in the background of experience just when we're meditating. And then thoughts and feelings, activities and relationships take over. But in time, in the midst of thoughts, feelings, activities and relationships, this peace of awareness is felt, the peace of our true nature is felt. And in time it pervades our entire life. And as a result, there is less conflict in relationship, more, etc. So you said early on in your question that it seemed like quite a large leap to go from the body-mind in which awareness is experienced to the understanding that the body-mind appears in awareness. Was that?
I mean, I think conceptually I can make that leap, but in the felt sense it is still...
So, but when you say conceptually you can make that leap, really you have to, in order to even understand, in order to understand anything about awareness, we have to experience awareness. I say, we have to experience awareness. Awareness has to experience itself. For instance, if I were to ask you now, is awareness present, or are you aware? What would you say?
Yes.
Okay. Is that an intellectual understanding?
No. It is, I mean...
In order to answer the question, is awareness present, or is there awareness, or am I aware, you have to... Well, let's back up a little bit. If I were to ask you the question now, are the flowers present? You would say yes, because the flowers are your experience. So you can legitimately say, yes, the flowers are present. Yes, the flowers are your experience. Now, if I ask, is awareness present? Or are you aware? Or is there awareness? You have to check out your experience, just like you checked out the experience of the flowers. You saw the flowers and therefore answered yes to the question, are the flowers present? So when I ask, is awareness present? You go somewhere. You don't go to the flowers. You go to the experience of being aware. And as a result of that experience, although it's a colorless experience, you can't see it or taste it or touch it. Nevertheless, as a result of that experience, you answer yes. In other words, you express your understanding, yes, awareness is present. That's not an intellectual understanding. It's an understanding that is derived from your experience. And in fact, to know anything about awareness, it's not possible to have an intellectual understanding. In fact, there's no such thing as intellectual understanding. What would it, let's say when you're 3 years old, you don't understand that 2 + 2 = 4. Somebody asks you, what does 2 + 2 =? You say 22. And then your teacher takes 4 stones, 2 stones here and 2 stones there, and you count them. And you realize, no, 2 + 2 = 4, not 22. Yeah. Now, is that intellectual understanding as opposed to real understanding? What is intellectual understanding as opposed to real understanding? Understanding is understanding. If it's not understanding, it is at best belief. But that's something completely different. So the first thing is to understand from experience that awareness is not something that is experienced inside the body. You said earlier it's a big step to go from the experience inside the body to the experience of the body being inside awareness. But if I ask you now, are you aware? You obviously say yes, but where do you go to find the answer to that question?
Well, that itself doesn't seem to be located anywhere specific.
Perfect. So if that's clear to you, and you're absolutely right, you go to the experience of being aware, but that doesn't seem to be somewhere. In other words, it's not in your body. You didn't go to a feeling in your head or in your chest or in your belly. So your actual experience is that awareness or the experience of being aware is not located somewhere. That's not intellectual understanding. That's understanding. Understanding that comes from experience. Now, I agree, it's quite another thing to feel your body in a way that is consistent with this understanding. You're right about that. And the yoga meditations that we begin to do as the retreat goes on are aimed particularly at feeling the body in a way that is consistent with this understanding. But we start with this exploration of our experience. And the first thing we start with is this exploration of what it is that knows our experience, or in what our experience arises. To show, for instance, that the flowers, which most people believe take place outside ourself, actually take place inside consciousness. Your only knowledge of these flowers is a perception. Is that right? Does anyone here have any knowledge or experience of these flowers other than the current perception? And doesn't all perception take place in consciousness? Therefore, your experience, in spite of the appearance, your experience takes place in consciousness. These flowers take place in consciousness. Is that an intellectual understanding, or is it your actual experience?
It is my actual experience, and yet there is some conditioning that I have to get past in order to actually experience as it is. Does that make sense? Like,
you mean there's some conditioning that needs to dissolve in order to live in a way that is consistent with this understanding. Yeah. Yes, no, that's very true. And really the yoga meditations that we engage are the dissolution of this old conditioning of the way we feel the body and perceive the world. You're right. It's one thing to understand genuinely that all of our experience takes place in consciousness. It's another thing to feel the body and perceive the world, let alone act and relate in the world from this new point of view.
For a long time, I've been aware of when, like just now, when you were talking, when I hear sound, that I know the words that are coming out as they're coming out. It seems like about at the same moment that they're coming out, there's this knowing of what the word is. I could say the next word, but the word that's being spoken. It seems like a pointer or reminder that there is only the now.
It's very interesting to ask ourselves what it is that gives our present experience its unmistakable taste of reality. We think of, for instance, breakfast this morning or last night's dream. They both have a similar quality to them. In fact, they both appear in exactly the same way. Or this evening's journey home. What is different about the current experience? There's something that about the current experience that gives it an unmistakable sense of reality to it, that our dreams or memories or imagination doesn't have. Except, of course, that our memories take place now and as present experiences, they share the same reality that this current experience has. What is it that imparts reality to our experience? In other words, what is real in experience? We can't be sure that we're not dreaming now. We can't be sure that we're seeing an outside world. In fact, we can't be sure about anything except the fact that this experience is absolutely real. There is something real about it. What is that? Now, we cannot legitimately say, I don't know. Because if we are experiencing the current experience, we must be experiencing its reality, in the same way that it's not possible to watch a movie without seeing its reality, the screen. So all we are experiencing in the current experience is the reality of experience. What is that? And whatever the reality of this moment is the same reality as this moment. And this moment, and this moment, and every experience we have, whatever it is, however wonderful or awful it may be, shares the same reality. And therefore that reality is not limited to or by the particulars of any, the limitations of any particular experience. What is that? It is in fact all that is being experienced. And it could be called knowing or experiencing or consciousness or I. We give it all these names, but the names aren't important. What's important is to not just understand but feel that all that is being experienced is that reality. And it is experiencing itself in all experience. That enables us to be totally intimate with all experience. We never have to separate ourselves from experience. We never have to say, oh, it's not okay to be an artist because that's not spiritual. It's not okay to have a family because that will take me away from my true nature. Or it's not okay to go into business or whatever it is, because all experience, sitting on your sofa meditating, engaging in creative activity, having a family, running a business, all experience is only shining with its reality. And that understanding enables us to be totally in life, fully in life, intimate with it and free of it. Because we know that that reality is not limited by any particular experience. It is the sole substance of all particular experiences, but at the same time free of the limitations of any particular experience. The fact that it is the substance of all experience gives us this intimacy with all experience. The fact that it is independent from the particulars of all experience gives us the sense of freedom. So it is both intimacy with all experience and freedom from the limitations of any particular experience. Yes, the intimacy or the love with all experience is the immanent aspect of reality. The freedom from the limitations of any particular experience is the transcendent aspect of all experience. So the reality of experience is both immanent and transcendent simultaneously. If we just go for immanence, we lose ourselves in experience. If we just go for transcendence, we lose ourselves in transcendence. We separate, we have to separate ourselves from experience. Experience becomes a problem. So the real freedom is both immanence and transcendence, love and freedom simultaneously. It must be freedom from and intimacy with. Freedom from, you can be freedom from, you can remain aloof from experience, you can remain the detached witness of experience. It is a position of enlightenment, but we could call it enlightened dualism. I, the separate witness of experience that is free from all of that lot stuff over there. Thoughts, feelings, sensations, and perceptions. So freedom from is not enough. Yeah. It's a halfway stage. It's a legitimate halfway stage that most of us have to pass through. Yeah. So we first separate ourselves from experience and recognize our true nature of ever-present awareness. That is freedom from. But we then have to go back to experience, or rather, we don't go back to experience, we then allow all experience to come back to us and realize that this ever-present awareness that is free from the limitations of any particular experience is also utterly intimate with all experience. So it is free from and intimate with. Ask yourself the question, have I ever known or could I ever know anything other than the knowing of experience, the awareness of experience? Try now to find something other than the knowing of experience. It's not even the knowing of experience. We never find the of experience. We never find something separate from knowing. When I say we never find, who is the we that never finds anything separate from knowing. It is knowing itself. It is awareness itself that never finds anything other than the awareness of experience. But in fact, awareness doesn't know the awareness of experience. From awareness's point of view, it is not one thing and experience another. It is not a separate subject of experience, knowing a separate object, other or world. Experience is awareness. Experience is the activity of awareness, the vibration of awareness. So when I say we never know anything other than the knowing of experience, the we is knowing itself, and the experience is knowing itself. So what I mean is that knowing never knows anything other than knowing. Awareness is and knows itself alone. Start with awareness. You, I, we are awareness, and awareness is without parts, without any inside, without any outside. It is indivisible, indestructible, self-knowing. It is not possible to meditate upon awareness. Who would meditate upon awareness? Who would know awareness? Who would be aware of awareness? Only awareness itself. Awareness doesn't need to do anything to know itself, just like the sun doesn't need to do anything to illuminate itself. There is no need for practice, for meditation, for effort, no room for a path. There is no distance between awareness and itself, no time for a practice, no room for any effort to occur. See that and be free. Know that you have never been anything other than awareness. You have never known anything other than awareness. You have never been anywhere. You have never done anything. The common name for this simple recognition is peace or happiness. Not happiness, a state of the mind or a pleasant sensation in the body. Happiness, that is fulfillment, the absence of lack, the sense of completion. No experience can diminish me. No experience can aggrandize me. I am whole. I am indivisible. All experience is made out of myself. I need nothing, but am everything. Be only awareness. Know only awareness. Love only awareness. Even to call it awareness is really blasphemous, because in the absence of anything else to contrast awareness with, the word awareness itself has no meaning. Be, know, and love only this unnameable reality of all experience.